guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts on this Monday edition of the show. Draft Dudes is brought to you by Built Bar. Remember, promo code Locked On gets you $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com. Kyle, happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday. Good morning. Talking about some fine print today or this week on the show. And that should be fun. You know, we said last week, everybody likes when we talk about their teams. And I figured this will be, what, twice for everybody's team in 3 weeks that we talked about your team by the time we're all said and done by Friday.
Yeah, and it's kind of a relevant
topic. Plus takes on takes.
Yeah, that's takes on takes is coming tomorrow. It's a relevant topic because we just got through this deadline of 2017 first-round picks and applying the fifth-year option. And, you know, for back-to-back years, I think 14 of them in 17 and 16 did not get their fifth-year option picked up, right? And it was kind of a sobering moment when you think about the NFL draft just ending and understanding that in 3 years, you know, about half of these players, teams are going to be ready for them to go play football somewhere else. So it was kind of a fun idea to take the opportunity here this week on the show to look ahead to the 2018 first round picks, which fall under a different criteria under the new CBA for picking up that fifth year option. Everything that was true about the previous ones, the 2017 was the last year that the old CBA applied to fifth year options. Now that we're into the 2018 and forward for the next 11 years, at least this is how things are going to go. And so we took the time to really familiarize ourselves with the language of the CBA so we can understand the dynamics of what it means for a fifth year option to be applied to this 2018 class, which those teams will have to make that decision after the year. So I'll work through this very quickly. The way the new fifth year option works is when that fifth year option is picked up by the team, the first thing you need to know is that that fifth year salary is fully guaranteed. Not just against injury like it was in the past. It becomes a fully guaranteed salary. All right. And now the amount of that pickup is now based on how the player performed. If they have made the Pro Bowl in one of the first three seasons of their NFL career, that fifth year option is going to equate to the transition tender, which is the average of the 10 highest salaries for players at their position. So that will apply when we talk about the 2018 draft. That's going to apply to Saquon Barkley, Denzel Ward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, and Lamar Jackson. That is original Pro Bowl selection. So if you were an alternate and filled in like, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, that's not going to help you. It's an original selection. Now, if you make the Pro Bowl twice in the first 3 years, you get the franchise tender. That's the average of the top five highest salaries at the position. And that applies so far to Quentin Nelson, who has been an original Pro Bowl selection two times already. Now, all of the players that we mentioned as transition players, they make the Pro Bowl this year. Their fifth-year option costs the salary tag, or the franchise tag. All right, now every other player, they can make the Pro Bowl this year as an original selection and become the transition tender, and that fifth-year option will equate to the average of the top 10 highest salaries for the position. Now, every other player that does not make the Pro Bowl at all in their first three seasons as an original selection and they play at least 75% of the snaps in two of three seasons or 50% across three seasons, they get the average salaries of the third to 20th highest paid players at their position, which I think will probably be most of the remaining players. If they don't meet any of those three, so two Pro Bowls in three seasons, one Pro Bowl in three seasons, 75% of the snaps in two of three seasons, or 50% across three seasons, they get the average salaries of players 3 to 25 at the position. I hope you listened, and I hope that made sense to you.
Oh, man. Yeah, so we'll be going player by player, so I think we'll have a chance to provide the context necessary depending on the individual players. But, Joe, we're doing 1 through 8 today.
Yep.
On the show. So, shall we?
Baker Mayfield, QB1, right, Kyle?
Baker Mayfield, my QB1 that year. It's not looking ideal, but I'm not going to bury Baker Mayfield based on a regression in year two under Freddie Kitchens.
Okay. And no offensive tackles.
And no offensive tackles. That's right. So the question we are posing here is, what would you do with Baker Mayfield? And knowing full well that he has not made a Pro Bowl, he will not be making two Pro Bowls. So the proposition, the worst, quote-unquote, worst-case scenario for your salary cap is Baker goes out and balls out this year. He makes the Pro Bowl as an original ballot Pro Bowl nominee, and then he would be eligible for the transition tender price, which is the average of the 10 highest salaries at the position in the fourth year of his contract.
Beautiful practical application there, Kyle.
Thank you. That's a no-brainer, right? Like, yes, we're gonna exercise the fifth-year option for Baker Mayfield.
I think that's going to be a theme for almost all of these quarterbacks that we get to. I think there was five in the first round. No, you know, it's one of those.
Not all of them now.
No, that's why I said almost all of them. There's the guy we'll get to on Wednesday that is going to be a pass on that guy.
See you later.
Right. Well, here's the thing is on top of that being a pretty reasonable salary, you also avoid having to you kick the can on the extension, right? It gives you as much opportunity as you possibly can to evaluate Baker Mayfield and these other quarterbacks that we're going to get to before you give them, you know, $35-40 million a season across 4 years and all this big time guaranteed money and all those types of dynamics. And so one thing that's going to be a major advantage to the teams when comparing what they get to look at for making this decision compared to us is they get to see this next year play out. And we're forecasting a lot here. So I don't think what happens next year really matters all that much. I think the best thing you can do is pick up the fifth-year option and have him under control for two more seasons and kick the can on waiting to pay that big-time extension.
Right. Right. Number two?
Yeah, Saquon Barkley, New York Giants running back. He's already made the Pro Bowl as an original selection. So he's guaranteed right now to have the average salary of the top 10 highest-paid players at his position. If he makes the Pro Bowl this year, that goes up to a franchise tender, which is the average of the top five highest played players at his position. Which here's the deal. Like Saquon is really a special talent. And I don't like the idea of paying him a big time long-term deal because that's just not proven to be very smart. But if I can buy more time while he's young, I think it's kind of a similar type of situation that I look at with what I mentioned with the quarterbacks, like wait as long as possible, enjoy that talent, and avoid having to lock yourself in long-term. So I think that I'm at this point, I would want to pick that up, especially, dude, you pick this guy 2 overall. Like, get as much out of him as you can, and then deal with that when you have to deal with it.
All right, so here's the deal, right? As of right now, he already qualifies for the transition tender price for his fifth-year option. It's fully guaranteed money, correct?
Yep.
Do you know what that is?
I'm guessing it's going to be around nine.
$8.48 million.
Yeah, I'm paying that to Saquon in 2021.
Kenyon Drake's getting that this year.
Right.
Yes, you absolutely pay. And if he gets the Pro Bowl again next year, you're talking less than $2 million more.
Yeah, it's a little over 10.
It's 10.27.
Yeah.
So a lot of money for running back, yes. But if it's an investment in a top 2 overall pick who has been as good as Saquon Barkley has been, even despite the fact that he had the ankle issue last year,
mm-hmm.
and can be an every down pass catcher out of the backfield and a bell cow running. Like, yes, you know, you got a quarterback on a rookie deal. You're not pressed for the cap. And for me, it's a no-brainer. Saquon Barkley is a guy that I would also be exercising no matter what happens.
Yep, with you.
And his fourth year base salary becomes fully guaranteed as well, correct?
Yeah, I think it probably already is very close.
That's 4.7 million.
That's a bargain. So you have you have Saquon on a 2-year $15 million deal or something like that.
Well, his cap hit for next year is 9.9 because his signing bonus was prorated through the first four years of his deal.
Maybe you don't.
So it's 9.9 cap hit next year, and then the fifth year would be a 10.28 if he makes the Pro Bowl.
Right.
And if he doesn't make the Pro Bowl, his cap hit is less in year five than what it is in year four.
Highly unlikely that we get to a scenario where Barkley's option's not picked up.
Correct. I agree with you. Sam Darnold, quarterback, New York Jets. USC, third overall pick. Jets traded up to this pick, and I think you think about that. You think about positional value. It makes sense for the Jets to pick up this option. I do worry a little bit about Sam, and it has actually very little to do about Sam himself, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
This team, point me in the direction and where they're better with their supporting cast this year versus last year. Left tackle and where else?
Man, I hope for them that there's more answers than that. Hopefully Connor McGovern's a better player at center. Hopefully they have gotten enough competition at guard that one of those players can make an impact. I think the receivers are better. I mean, they already
lost Quincy Enunwa.
Yeah, but that's you always lose Quincy Enunwa. You lose Robbie Anderson. You pick up what, Rashad Perriman, Denzel Mims. You added more depth at running back and Frank Gore and LaMichael Perine. I have to think it's marginally better, but it's obviously not quite the cupboard being as full as you want it to be for Sam Darnold.
And the coaching staff is bad.
That's always going to be the problem, right? Is you always have that lingering here.
So I'll say this, you know, you mentioned Connor McGovern, and I didn't intend to gloss over him the way that I did, but I look at that interior trio is it's like, you can't be a good player on an island there. You know what I mean? Like, you either have to have the guys on either side of you be able to pick you up and help you, or it doesn't matter how good you're going to be, the play's still going to be bad on the interior.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think they certainly looked at players like Alex Lewis and Greg Van Roten as players that they thought can improve that depth, right? And so you toss in Brian Winters into the mix. You think about Cameron Clark, who they took in the fourth round. I don't know. Hopefully between that, you can find some answers. And here's the weird thing is like, if Chuma Adoga is going to be your right tackle and Mekhi Becton's going to be your left tackle, what did you pay George Fant that money for? Like, where does he slide into this equation?
He's getting 10 mil a year.
I mean, it's ambitious to think Adoga could start, and maybe that's the answer, is that he's the right tackle. But yeah, I mean, no, this isn't super high quality looking at it on paper. And like, close your ears, Bills Mafia. I like Sam Darnold. But I don't like the way that what's going on in terms of what they've done to build around him. I think they're hopeful that this kind of pieces together somehow, but it's obviously not ideal, or as ideal as it could be.
Is there any way the play gets so far off the rails that we don't pick up the option? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. He's had a lot of goofy moments, man. There's no question about it. But I think his trajectory is still pretty strong, and they finished the season pretty strong. Obviously, he had some really good moments in his first year. There wouldn't be enough. I mean, he'd have to, the wheels would have to come off, and they didn't come off last year after Mono and like a worse supporting cast. Right? He's not going to be worse than he was last year. That'd be very disappointing. So I think I expect it to get picked up, and I think it should.
Now, you ready for this? This is kind of fun. This will never happen, but we're talking about these new stipulations in place. Barkley had a $4.7 million base salary. Do you know what Sam Darnold's base salary is for his fourth year in 2021? He'll only be 24 then, by the way. He has 2 years of starting experience. He's 23 years old.
So what his salary for 2021 is?
His base salary.
I don't know, 8 or 9 million?
What becomes fully guaranteed?
I would guess 8 or 9 million.
$920,000.
Oh, you're kidding. They must have structured that very weird.
He's got roster bonuses due at the opening day of training camp in 2019, 2020, and 2021. The roster bonus is $3.85 million if he's on the roster for day one of training camp. So the Jets could convert this into a fifth year option, and they're locked into less than $1 million extra dollars versus commitments that they already have. So this is, for the Jets, is an inconsequential decision for 2021. Not that he's not going to be there anyway, right? But it's just like looking at the cap perspective. Yeah.
they're going to pay him in the fifth year. They're going to guarantee he's not making the Pro Bowl this year. It'd be very unlikely. He's going to be the average salaries of players 3 to 20 at his position. I mean, that's such a wide range. It's not going to be that much money.
Okay. 3 is Jared Goff getting 33.5.
Yeah, but I bet you
very, very rudimentary math.
Yeah. So what's 20? Who's 20?
Quarterback. I'll tell you in just a hot sec. My producer's hot on the case. Okay. So Goff, Rodgers, Cousins, Wentz, Prescott, and Ryan are all above 30 million. That's 3 through 8.
Okay.
So you get down to 20. 20 is Marcus Mariota at 8.8.
See, it tanks right there.
But the net number 19 is 15 million.
Okay. So it's going to be upper teens, right?
This is probably going to be, there's only 18, 19, and 20 are the only three below 20 million.
Mm.
So this is going to be over 20 million for year 5.
Yeah, but like the best quarterbacks get paid mid 30s, right? 20 million for your starting quarterback.
You still do it.
Yeah. But it's not inconsequential, that's for sure.
Do you know what else you still need to do?
I do, but tell the people.
Buy yourself a box of Built Bar, my friends. Proud sponsors of the Draft Dudes podcast and the Locked On Network. Built Bar, you know, they hooked us up at the beginning of the month with these sample boxes, and it was terrific. You think about protein bars, if you're looking for something that's going to, you know, be a meal replacement or something in between meals throughout the course of your day, if you're active and on the move, Built Bar is an excellent choice. They have like 1/7 the carbs and sugars of regular protein bars, but they also still have more protein than your average protein bar. The consistency is awesome. You know, these things are easy to eat. They're delicious. It's not like chewing on the sole of your shoe. There's actually give. They taste like candy bars, really. But the nutrition facts, whatever witchcraft they got cooking at Built Bar, I want in on because it's out of this world good. You got to try it. So promo code Locked On gets you $10 off your first box at BuiltBar.com. That's promo code Locked On, gets you $10 off your first box. Join the party, get yourself a box of Built Bar, and you could thank us when you're done. Moving on, Joe.
Yeah, Denzel Ward time. Two Denzel Cleveland Browns. Ward. Remember this? They had two top five picks.
I do.
Denzel Ward's been a good player. He's already been an original Pro Bowler, so he's got the transition tag eligibility, so he'll already get top 10 highest paid salaries. He makes the Pro Bowl this year. He goes up to top 5. So we're talking some big bucks here for Denzel Ward, who's been a good player for them. Had some injuries last year, but I think we've all seen really exciting man coverage skills, physicality, even though he's not the biggest guy. You know, I think he has the makings of being a legitimate, you know, top corner in this league. And so I think he's on a good trajectory. And at this point, it's hard to envision. You know, I know in this last one we talked about 2017 was like picks 2 through 5 or something. They didn't even get the thing picked up.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of a different story here. And I think Denzel Ward is very much in favorable position on a defense that I think will be better next year. I like what they did to improve the safety play. Greedy Williams in year 2. Kevin Johnson, a veteran corner they added to the mix. I think he's going to have a good year. And I think that they're going to want to make sure they keep him back.
Yeah, this is another one of those. They've got roster bonus is already built into this contract. So this is almost inconsequential for 2021. You're converting less than $1 million in base salary over into guarantees. And if he does not make another Pro Bowl, you're talking $14.2 million in year 5.
Yeah, you pick that up all day long. That's what James Bradberry got, right?
Right, right. And his his cap hit for 2021, when you factor in the roster bonus, the signing bonus, and if you convert his base salary, is 9.5.
Yeah, you take that all day
long.
So
you're talking a promotion of one middle tier free agent to extend Denzel Ward based on the play that he's had on the field, how good of a prospect that he was at Ohio State. I think this is a no brainer. Yeah. Definitely lock him in.
Got our first challenging one here, potentially at number 5 here.
Bradley Chubb?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Part of the challenge is the cost of defensive ends, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You pay those guys a lot of money, man.
If Chubb goes out and makes the Pro Bowl this year, you're talking $15.2 million for his fifth-year option.
It's not, I mean, that doesn't make it an automatic no in my view, but what's challenging is he had a great rookie year and then we didn't get to see him play last year. So he's got to come back healthy. And now, I mean, I guess fortunately for him, the injury happened earlier in the year. I mean, he should be really healthy. I saw him sprinting on that, that Broncos schedule release video. I saw him sprinting on the treadmill. He looked pretty good. I don't know. Maybe, hopefully he's healthy and he recaptures that form. And obviously there's so much talent around him on that Denver defense. And you love the scheme and coordinator there to get the most out of him. But he is coming off of an ACL tear, right? And so you never, I mean, guys in their first year back, especially pass rushers, they don't always, it doesn't always click right away. So he's got to come out and really, you know, flatten the curve, if you will, and play good ball. And I know that they're going to want to keep him around. And Denver does a pretty good job whenever they apply these types of things. If they apply a tag or pick up an option, they do a good job about getting extensions done with their guys. But you know, this is kind of a challenging dynamic with him coming off the ACL tear.
You know what's nuts? We are about 30 snaps away from Bradley Chubb not playing 75% of the snaps in either of his first two seasons.
So this could become, if he doesn't make the Pro Bowl, then this becomes a very economic proposition. Players 3-25.
Well, he did play 75% in year one, but it was by like 30 snaps. So he, if he does not play 75% of the snaps this year, no matter how well he plays, if he doesn't make the Pro Bowl and he doesn't play 75% of the snaps, he's getting salaries 3-25 at that position.
You pick him. I mean, you just don't let him walk for that, right? Like, he's a good enough player that you take your chance on another year of him being healthy, you know, showing the promise that made you pick him five overall and the 12 and a half sacks he had as a rookie.
What do you think the 25th highest paid defensive end in football is getting paid?
$3.5 million.
$9 million.
Oh, wow. I was way off on that. I mean, way off. What's this person's name?
Tyrone Crawford.
You're kidding.
$9 million. 24th is Shaq Lawson, $10 million. Mario Addison's 23rd, 10.15.
So you're going to pay him well north of $10 million. Well north of it.
Yeah, because three, is it three or five? It's three.
3-20. So we're talking if he makes a 75% or 50% across three seasons?
Well, he won't get 50% because he played 22% last year. So he has to play 75 plus to get 3-20. If he doesn't play 75% of the snaps and doesn't make the Pro Bowl, then he's getting 3-25, correct?
Yes.
That would be Trey Flowers is third at $18 million. 25 is $9 million.
So we're talking 13, 14 in that range?
Yeah.
I wish I could see this season. I think he's somewhere in the middle. I could see it going either way.
So this is the first player that we've hit where it's like, my man's got a significant amount riding on what he's able to do in 2020.
Yeah.
You were talking a financial decision for the team. If he doesn't play 75% of the snaps, doesn't make the Pro Bowl, you're talking probably $13 million. If he does make the Pro Bowl, you're talking $15.2 million for the transition tag cost. So imagine if he would have made, no. He's got a lot to earn.
He does.
By playing well. You know, 12 sacks as a rookie. We thought for a hot sec there, he might make a run at the rookie sack record.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And then he played four games last year. And so he'll have a lot to prove, but I think you're still at a point here. I mean, without getting in specifically into Denver's cap situation, which is an entirely different story, but you can kind of finagle that year in, year out as you go. I think this is still worth the, he's not, he has so much promise and potential, and he played so well as a rookie that, like, yeah, I'm going to bet on that. If he comes out and falls face first in the turf this year, I think about it, but I still have a hard time forgetting about how good his rookie year was. I'd exercise this option.
I'm somewhere leaning that way, but in the middle. I this is one where I'm probably the most uncomfortable so far, and I want to see what happens this year. But, you know, you took him 5 overall. He had a good rookie year. You know, there's enough of a foundation there that I think he's got a really good chance of getting this picked up.
Do you think, looking at the – we've got 3 guys to get to today still.
Yep.
Do you think any of these 3 guys, we have a consensus, no, I'm not exercising that option on?
Maybe.
Maybe. Oh, it's going to get fun. We got Quentin Nelson next, and this is a slam dunk.
Right, yeah. Quentin Nelson already 2 Pro Bowls. I mean, he's a foundational piece of the roster. He has the upside to be the best offensive lineman in football. He's in a lot of ways the identity of the Indianapolis Colts, right? I mean, like, he's changed that offensive line.
It's nuts.
Whatever the highest paid offensive lineman gets, you give that to Quentin Nelson. I mean, he's a dream, right? He's a total dream at guard. That guy's not leaving my building. He's Marshall Yanda for me. He's whatever, Joe Thomas, whatever long-term offensive lineman that exists in the history of football, that's what he is. He's already proven that in 2 years.
Quentin Nelson, offensive line franchise tag figure is $14.78 million.
That, yeah.
Lock it in.
Yeah, that's easy discussion. Sorry, Colts fans. Everybody knows that he's good. You know about, this is a hot take on Quentin Nelson, right? Everybody knows this guy kicks ass, right? A dominant football player.
Yeah.
My gripe with Quentin Nelson, it's not even his own fault, is when we celebrate him for doing things that aren't that great.
Right. You know? That's a phenomenon in general, though, right? Where it's like, oh my God, I can't believe he did this. It's like, well, yeah, Jesus. It's a standard.
Like, that's what standard he does play. Every play. Like, right. Like, he's going to kick enough ass that we'll have plenty of good moments to swoon over on Twitter. Like, the average shit, like, just leave it, you know? Leave it.
Right.
All right. Josh Allen, quarterback, Buffalo Bills. He's right now, if he makes the Pro Bowl this year, it'll be top 10 players at his position. Otherwise, he'll get the transition the one where it's the 3-20. Because he'll play meet the other criteria.
Pro Bowl this year gets him a 5th-year option worth $24.8 million.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of growth from year one to year two. Good football team around him. Very different than the Sam Darnold conversation. Kind of all right there for him, in my view. But in a lot of what I talked about with Baker, it's one of those deals where, you know, at this point, I haven't seen anything that makes me say, you know, $35, $40 million a year, big time money. We're going to restrict our cap because we have to have this player. So to me, this is another example of, I like the trajectory. I recognize the need for growth, but I also want to kick the can on giving him the big bucks as long as I possibly can. And, you know, if it's $25 million in 2021, that's something I think I can absolutely live with.
I mean, let's, at the end of the day, say what you will about Josh Allen. His team won 10 games last year.
Yeah.
And they may have won at times in spite of the lack of consistency in Josh Allen, but they've constructed a roster that's competitive. And in the grand lexicon of quarterback dollars, $24 million puts you tied for 15th, yeah. Right? Like, so it's not as though you are making a financially back-breaking decision. And the shoe on the other foot here that you're talking about, if the Bills wanted to go a different direction, is like, you got to position yourselves to get one. And that's a lot easier said than done for a team that's going to be expected to compete for a division championship in 2020 and presumably 2021. It's not like you would have to have somebody absolutely fall into your lap to make this decision difficult.
Yeah. And one thing about Josh, and I know that he makes things harder than they have to be a lot of times. And like, I understand why people would say that the Bills have not necessarily, they didn't win 10 games last year specifically because of Josh Allen, but he did have 4 fourth quarter comebacks and 5 game winning drives last year, which is pretty impressive. But like I said, a lot of that might be because he, you know, didn't do enough early on and it took time to settle in.
Put yourself in holes early on and then you settle in and you get locked in.
But those are those moments where you're like, oh yeah, there's some clutchness here. So yeah, look, there's no reason to be thinking that he wouldn't be in well positioned for this to be picked up.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. You account for the rushing production that he has, and it's 1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns in 2 years, and
yep.
It's a no-brainer. So let me ask you this in relation to Josh real quick. Did you find that that offense ran better on the scripted plays at the beginning of the halves or better off the scripted plays?
I mean, he played his best football in the fourth quarter usually.
It's kind of what I anticipated, but I didn't want to assume.
Yeah, and there were times where I thought Brian Daboll had really good opening scripts, and Josh did a good job of like just running it. I mean, they went no huddle to start games, and Josh was very much in rhythm and did some good things there. And it felt like there was always like some adversity that would come within a drive, whether it was a drop pass, a sack, a penalty, you know, that it's just like you just couldn't overcome it, right? And so being able to, when the script slightly goes off script, being able to find ways to get back on script is something that, you know, you like to see. And it's funny, like Josh, a lot of times he'll be in difficult third down situations. It's almost like you'd rather have the guy in third and 12 than third and six. If that makes sense, you know, it just feels like those are the moments where he finds a big play. He's fun to watch, I'll tell you that. You want to be entertained, watch Josh Allen play quarterback. I'm excited to see what he can do this year, though.
So this is another player that does have some fine print in.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking still Josh.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He missed four games his rookie year
with elbow, an injury. Yeah.
He played 68% of the snaps. If,
oh, really? Yeah.
Heaven forbid, Josh Allen gets hurt, misses probably four or five games again this year, that could potentially be a seven-figure injury for him as far as how much his fifth-year option would be worth.
Might not see him hurtling over linebackers this year, eh? Might be Josh, the best thing in there.
Josh, keep it in the back of your head, brother. Like, you got to play 75% of the snaps to get that, or else you're getting those five bottom salaries. And the people in that position is Kyler Murray at 8.7, Baker Mayfield at 8.1, Nick Foles at 8, Sam Darnold at 7.5, and Mitch Trubisky at 7.2.
Well,
tack those averages onto, you know, what we're looking at, 33, 32, 30, that could be a seven-figure injury if you miss enough games. So chill out a little bit, Josh.
Can we get Kiko Alonso on the opposing defense every week?
Oh, jeez.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Kiko, he's probably not missing having to play Josh. Maybe that's why they traded him to New Orleans, so he could practice against Taysom Hill and practice every day. Try to figure out how to tackle a big-bodied quarterback.
Yeah, dude, those are some of my best moments. Oh, boy. Okay, last one today. Roquan Smith, linebacker for the Chicago Bears. He's had some stuff, right, each year. He was hurt a little bit last year, wasn't he? Or was it a suspension? Something funky at the beginning of the year.
He missed four games.
Okay. I don't think he's played that well for the Bears. I think he's been okay. I think he's had some high-level moments. You've seen times where you saw Georgia Roquan Smith and, you know, him quick, keen, diagnosed, chasing, pursuing, getting after guys. But I don't think he's been as consistent as I'd hope he would have been to this point in his career. I think he's going to have to play well this year.
This is where it gets hard, right? Because our expectations on Roquan Smith coming out of Georgia, it's not that Roquan Smith at Chicago's been a bad player. Would you disagree with that?
No, I think he's just been okay. He's been flashy.
He's made some splash plays, and, you know, he had five sacks as a rookie and six passes defensed and almost had 100 solo tackles in 16 games. And he wasn't very good in coverage. He was better this past year in coverage. His quarterback rating in throws to his assignments was down 20 points in 2019 versus 2018. So there's some things that are moving in the right direction with Roquan Smith. But you get people talk about positional value and, you know, linebackers and running backs being the two positions that quote unquote don't matter, right? Or that at least they're the most easily replaceable. And, you know, so you see a ton of teams that are going three safety sets and a lot of base nickel and going extra sub package from there. I mean, Roquan's cost for a transition tag, if he were to make the Pro Bowl this year, is $13.8 million. I think this is gonna, this decision will be more difficult if Roquan balls out this year, in that, you know, you can say, well, the arrow's pointing up. He's ascended in each of the last two seasons as far as he got better in pass coverage in 2019. And if he plays well enough to make the Pro Bowl, you know, that, but the extra money that's going to come in and kick in on top of that at least makes you stop and think and say, okay, well, you know, how high is the ceiling versus what our expectations were, and how easily would it be to replace Roquan with somebody else for a cheaper cost?
I think Chicago is very much still committed to Roquan Smith. They it's not like they've done a whole lot in terms of adding big time depth or guys that are going to really challenge him.
Walk.
What's that now? I missed it.
They let Kwiatkowski walk.
They did, and there's not been a whole lot of additions to the roster. I mean, they brought back Danny Trevathan, but he's a different type of player that complements Roquan Smith. There's not a whole lot of depth here, so it certainly appears that Chicago is very much in on Roquan Smith. I want to see him reach his ceiling, and I mean, he's entering year three. I think it could all come together this year, and he's had some funky stuff going on, but I mean, we know his ceiling is really high. He was a special football player at Georgia. I think he just has to become more consistent with the way he plays, and my goodness, he's become a great tackler. There's no question there. Like when he you know, has his course of the football, when he reads and closes, he's got a lot of speed, and dude finishes. But you know, just tightening up the mental side of the game, and I think that he'll be in good position. But I do think this is an important year for him to go and like prove that he's that dude on the second level that is going to be, you know, what they envisioned when they took him 8 overall.
So does he have his fifth year? We are 7-for-7 early on in this draft.
Does Which is he wrong. Have his you know that, right? We're wrong about that.
No, I don't necessarily think so.
Do you? You think that this is likely that
this is a good class?
I think that it's he's a little bit like the Brad. He's higher up in my likelihood than Brad Chubb, so I'll say that.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
to get it picked up.
I think you see, you know, the we will be above average. You know, what was the numbers? 14 guys the last 2 years didn't get their options?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll get close to that. We might be more 10 to 12 by the time we work through this, but I think it's the guys in the bottom half. I just think this is a good draft. So I think that I have all 8 of these guys down as yeses, and you said, you know, your yeses with a couple probablys.
Yeah, I have 6 yeses and 2 probablys. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't see it going any different in real life, because these guys, you know, when they've been healthy and been on the field, they're, you know, Roquan Smith's the first name that we got to that was like, yeah, maybe not. It might not be worth it. But like Brad Chubb, if you're going off his rookie year, I don't see how he's not worth exercising the option. So
there's going to be some interesting guy. I'm looking at the rest of this first round, and there's going to be some. It won't be as chalk as today. Let me tell you that.
It will not. And we already had a couple guys here on the move, right?
Yeah.
We had at least one guy on the move.
Yeah.
So
your favorite player in the league, man.
No, we got 2 guys on the move.
All associated with the Miami Dolphins.
They're on Friday. No, Friday we got a guy moving too.
Friday. Oh yeah. Wow.
So we got 3 guys on the move, and then one of them's a good football player, the other 2 to be determined, but that's for another day. So come on back and see us again. Tomorrow's Takes on Takes, we're working through 9 through 16 on Wednesday, 17 through 24 on Thursday, and 25 through 32 on Friday, talking about these fifth-year options, what we would do based on right now. But hey, right now we're 8-for-8. We think the top 8 ship picks should and will get their fifth-year options exercised based on the new CBA, based on what we've seen thus far. So come on back the rest of the week and find out how we feel about the rest of the 2018 first round, 2018 NFL draft.